Please be seated. I bring you warm greetings from the people of the Downtown East Side, from the congregation of St. James Church, and from our clergy. It is really wonderful to be here again at St. John's. St. John's Shaughnessy is one of the real friends of the Street Outreach Initiative. And for me, it's always both a privilege and a joy to join you for the Eucharist and to share together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, this morning, again, Jesus is teaching using a parable. It's one of those stories he told to his hearers to help them to understand something we struggle with, which is appreciating and understanding the fullness of God's love. A king has readied a wedding feast. The original invitees who had received the save the date notice are not prepared to come. So the king, although he is ready right now, reissues an invitation, yet that still meets with refusal. Some indeed are actually violent in rejecting the king and his messengers. Therefore, the king commands his slaves to invite the least likely people to the feast. And so those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with these guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Well, whenever Jesus speaks about who is and who is not going to be included in God's kingdom, it is very natural for me, it's like a reflex almost, to speculate on exactly who this might be, who will be included. In my mind, there are many, many worthy candidates who I would expect to be there. And at the same time, I have a list of others who might not be included by God. Perhaps you have your own private list of that too. You know, those people who do indeed get under our skin, that it's not too hard to imagine them out there somewhere. In fact, I can think of a few people constantly in the headlines for whom this would make enormous sense. Who's in and who's out? Really, that's what we want to know. It's the middle of High Mass, and a man named Feather John is walking down the center aisle of the church. His hair is gray, and it is all over the place, and his appearance is not a little wild. With a feather in one hand and an unlit, smashed-up, broken cigarette stub in the other, his face is placid. John is walking forward, doing something between an amble and a shuffle. As he approaches the altar steps at St. James, the celebrant looks at me, wide-eyed, looking at the street outreach priest as if to say, "Can you do something? This is your job." So I step down and out of the sanctuary and approach Feather John as members of the congregation are not listening to the lesson but looking on. "Hi, John," He presents me with a feather in a respectful, ceremonial way, and I receive it in that spirit. He looks me deep, deep in the eyes, but says absolutely no words. John, would you like to join me for a smoke? His eyes light up, and we walk together out to the side of the nave, and after he's had a cigarette on the front steps, we come back in, and John goes directly to the side altar where there is a rack of votive candles, and he lights one of those candles and offers a prayer. John has responded to the open doors of the church. John knows that he and all people are called to share life with God. He has chosen to come in, and he has found a welcome. He has come purposely to respond to God, and he leaves fulfilled. Now, it's half a year later. The congregation of St. James has gathered after Mass on a Sunday at Crab Park. It's a sunny afternoon by Vancouver's waterfront. Children, youth, and adults are all there from the congregation, and they're enjoying the sun. And as people line up for barbecued hot dogs and hamburgers, it is clear that a number of hungry neighborhood people have joined the line too. There's only so much food, and as the food comes to an end, a few St. James parishioners have not been fed, as well as a few of the hopefuls who had joined the line. One woman, however, is not satisfied. In her early 40s, Marguerite is not a member of the congregation. Thin and wiry, with short hair and t-shirt, she makes a ruckus. Parishioners have been glad to serve food to the uninvited, but Marguerite's point is, why could they serve so many others and yet not her? Why was she being discriminated against? Maybe because she was poor? Why was she being cheated out of what must surely be her right? Now, when the fact there is no more food is more than she can accept, Marguerite stomps around the picnic, making a great show of it, until finding a group of five parish children who are playing quietly. At that point, with all this anxiety and negative attention on her, Marguerite sits down with the kids. And she does this in an obvious way, as if trying to make a point. She wants to see who's watching her. And it is as if she is purposely trying to make us uncomfortable. She is breaking boundaries. You know, it's not just rich or middle-class people who can be a pain. Even poor, disadvantaged people can have attitude problems. And that was certainly the case, to the great discomfort of the parents. And Marguerite made a great show at this point of playing and having fun. The kids, for their part, were crying. Marguerite is neither a known person to us nor a safe person. At this point, one of the mothers asks her to leave. "I'm just having fun playing with my little friends," she says, as if defiantly and as if she might be sticking her tongue out at the mom who is raising this. Well, there's something that you should know. I'm not sure about Shaughnessy, but downtown Eastside parishioners and clergy like me are assertive about what makes us uncomfortable. We do know how to stand up to bullies because we have to. And we also know what we won't put up with. And so as I step in that direction to intervene, one other mom stands up and broadcasts to about 70 picnickers, "Hey, everybody, there's a lady here, a stranger. She's here without our permission. She's hanging around with the kids. Would someone help me with this?" Well, with the focus again back on Marguerite, she just hunkered down as if to prove she wouldn't leave. pretending very dramatically and overdoing it, pretending to play. But that isn't it. There are now a number of mothers who are hanging over her, and Marguerite finally gets up and makes quite a show of marching off like an angry toddler. I never wanted to come to your stupid picnic anyways. Whenever Jesus speaks about the fact of our calling, and when he makes a point such as this, that many are called but few are chosen, the point he is making is that although God does the calling, it is we who do the choosing. Like Father John on Sunday, we may respond to God's call to our lives. We choose to show up at God's banquet, the party that we are celebrating here. And then we go from that into the world as God's emissaries and representatives. We are called to live by God's value and to live those for others. But many, it seems, are not willing to choose to respond to God. When they show up, it might be a little bit more like Marguerite, not able to see what is already there for her, friends and refreshment. She sees only that which she wants that is not there, the only thing she can't have. Marguerite responds, but only on her terms. And so she is thrown out of the gathering, and with good reason. She chooses the food. She does not choose God's hospitality. As I think you know, whenever we read a parable, we are invited implicitly to ask the question, what about us? What about us? Where are we in this parable? Are we indeed like Marguerite? Do we show up with God only when it serves our purposes? When we want something out of the deal and we're there to receive our rightful share, what God should do for me? In other words, do we show up with God, but only on our terms? Do we choose to see what God will give us and at the same time fail to choose God himself? Or are we ready, like Father John, to choose to respond even to the challenges of navigating a crowded and confusing full house of a church, making our way somehow, trying to find our way to light a candle, prepared to show up and open to finding our place there among the other guests in God's presence? Because at the end of the day, for all of us, like Marguerite and Father John, and like the wedding guests in this story, although God calls everyone, it is we, not God, who do the choosing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.